Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 19. I'm going to begin reading at verse 25 down through verse 37. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was a preparation that the body should remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which were crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture which saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. Our subject today, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we shall take a look at the Lord Jesus and see him in the same category that every sinner is in just before the Lord saves that individual. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, being our substitute, had to take our place. He had to die the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. And because the Lord Jesus Christ knew no sin, had no sin, and did no sin, God made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Now also, the scripture is very plain, that we are saved by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles now and turn to Galatians chapter 2 for just a moment, and look with me at verse 18 down through 20. For if I build again the things which I had destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Then in verse 16 we read, Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now as we look at this for a moment or two, we want to look at the object of, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, because remember, we are saved by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to understand that, we must understand that when our Lord entered into our room, because that's what he did, he took upon himself a human body. And being a human, and he was, and yet he was without sin, so therefore he did not endure the temptations that we endured in this respect, because people today are coming along and trying to say that the Lord Jesus Christ gave in to sex and so on, and this is not so. My Lord had the nature of God, and we find it was a sinless nature, and therefore we find that he was a human being, and yet he was absolutely without sin. Now on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ took our place, and being an object of the Lord's wrath, we find he had to become like we are before the Lord God of heaven saves us. So for a few moments today, I want to share with you these three things, or two things if I have the opportunity. First of all, we're going to look at Christ as he's pictured for us as a repentant sinner. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. The Lord Jesus Christ did not have to repent. We understand that. But he pictures for us a repentant sinner as he hung on the cross of Calvary. Then, also before he died, the Lord Jesus Christ pictured for us the assured individual. Now, I realize many of you have never heard this before, so I want you to pay very close attention, and you follow along with me in your Bibles, if you will. Take your Bibles now, and let's go back to Psalm chapter 22. We find in Psalm chapter 22, you have what is known as the crucifixion psalm. The first verse starts out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is what our Lord uttered on the cross, as we know. But we find very clearly that on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ is seen first portraying a repentant sinner. Three things stand out in this portion of the Word of God, and it's described for us in Psalm chapter 22. We find that Christ was aware of the fact that he was an object of repugnance and filth. In like manner, when God brings us down the road of repentance, we are made to see who we are and what we are and the judgment we are under. Every sinner without Christ is an object of repugnance and filth before a holy God. But the sad commentary of today is this. The sinner does not know how filthy he is. He does not know what an object of repugnance he is before God. And the sinner tries to please the Lord God of heaven by his works, his righteousness, his religion, and so on. And it is only when God opens his eyes and brings him down the road of repentance that the sinner sees himself as God sees him. Now my Lord went through this, and he went through it on our behalf. And we find in verse 6, we read, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, for seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. And my friend, this is what happens when God opens the heart of a sinner. Our Lord took his place as a sinner on our behalf on the cross of Calvary, and he became an object of repugnance and filth in the sight of a thrice holy God. In like manner, when our Lord deals with us, we become the same way. We are made conscious of our depravity. The Lord Jesus Christ was made conscious of the depravity that was imputed to him, and yet he justified the Lord God of heaven. In verse 2 we read, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. We find here the Lord Jesus was not only an object of repugnance and filth, he was conscious of the depravity imputed to him, and yet he justified God. The second thing about it was this. He was aware of the various characteristics of the Lord God of heaven. If you remember and you know anything about your Bible, we find for 3 solid hours the Lord Jesus hung in darkness. The sun had quit shining for those 3 hours. The book of Luke brings that out very clearly. Now, why darkness? Darkness is a symbol of the judgment of the Lord God of heaven. A sinner will be cast into outer darkness when that sinner dies and goes to hell without the Lord Jesus. And one of these days, when my Lord comes back, he's going to put these sinners into outer darkness under the judgment of the Lord God of heaven for all eternity. This will happen to everyone and anyone who does not trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me stop right here. Do you know Christ at this hour? Have you been redeemed by him? I didn't ask if you were a church member. I'm not asking if you're religious. I'm not asking if you have a self-righteous religious veneer. But I'm asking you this question. Have you been born again? Has the Holy Spirit of God ever shown you who you are and what you are and the judgment you're under? Brought you down into the dust and ashes before a thrice holy God? pleading and begging and wondering if God would ever save you. And then to your amazement, He lifted you up and granted you eternal life. My friend, this is what takes place when God saves a sinner. And before a sinner gets saved, we find very clearly he takes his place as an object of repugnance and filth. That sinner is aware of the various characteristics of the Lord God of heaven. My Lord was the same way. He knew what it meant to be under darkness, and the darkness was so great that he cried out in agony of his soul. We find also the holiness of God was burning against sin, and our Lord experienced that. In Psalm 22, verse 1, we read, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. And my friend, this is what takes place when an individual is brought down the road of repentance. The darkness of God envelops that individual. The darkness is a symbol of the judgment of God. The holiness of God burns against sin, and that sinner knows it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ experienced the same thing when he took our place on the tree as our glorious and vicarious substitute. The holiness of God burned against him, and against him because of the fact that he was made sin for us. And we see he cried out in the agony of his soul. Then he was anxious for deliverance, and he knew that it only comes from Jehovah. In Psalm 22, verse 17, we read, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me, setting forth the nakedness of the Lord Jesus. And remember, when God deals with a sinner, he strips that sinner and makes that sinner stand naked before him. In verse 18, we read, they part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast hurt me from the horns of the unicorns. Here we see the third thing. Our Lord was anxious for deliverance, and he knew it only came from Jehovah. In like manner, the Lord God of heaven does the same thing to a sinner when he brings that sinner down the road of conviction, down into the valley of the Holy Spirit, and down also into the dust and ashes of repentance. Now, if you've never been there, my friend, you don't know what I'm talking about. But this is what takes place when God sets out to save a sinner. The second thing we see in our lesson here today is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the assured individual. Again, Psalm chapter 22. Look at verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel, for he hath not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. And my friend, here you see the Lord Jesus Christ as the assured individual. Again, three things stand out. There was the revelation that God has heard him. This is found in Psalm 22. It's found in Psalm 69. And we find it's found all through the Scripture. The second thing was this. The Lord Jesus was resting in the ability of the Lord God of heaven. Now, what in the world are we talking about? Here's the faith of Christ revealed. And remember, we are saved by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord recognized that God didn't have to save him. Our Lord recognized that God didn't have to hear him. And yet our Lord recognized that the Lord God of heaven did hear him. And when he passed out into eternity, my Lord said these words in Psalm chapter 31. And listen to what it says in verse 5. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. And are you listening? This is the faith of the Lord Jesus set forth in picture form for our learning. You see, there was the revelation that the Lord God of heaven had heard him. And my friend, when God saves a sinner, there's the indelible revelation written in the heart of the individual, given to him by the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord God of heaven has heard him. My Lord has the same thing. Then the individual rests in the ability of the Lord God of heaven. In Psalm chapter 31, we read it to you, but I want you to notice another passage, if I may, in Psalm chapter 86, and listen to verse 12 and 13. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. And if you'll trace that through, you'll find in Acts chapter 2, this is exactly what is said about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my Lord took our place as a sinner in our behalf. He experienced what we experience. So he knows exactly what every sinner goes through on the road of conviction. And the Lord God of heaven is with that individual as that sinner travels that route. Then there is the third thing. We find that there's the revelation that God has heard him. There is the resting in the ability of God, because he said, Father, into thy hands I commit or commend my spirit. I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. And then there's the third thing. There is the reality that the Lord Jehovah God is satisfied. Now, where in the world do you find that in our text today that we read a moment ago? Turn back, if you will, quickly to John chapter 19, and you'll find very clearly the Word of God tells us these words in John chapter 19. Listen to now in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now what do you have here? The reality that Jehovah God was satisfied. You see, my Lord knew what it meant to be deserted by God. Then my Lord knew what it meant to be received by the Lord God of heaven. And my Lord knew what it meant to commit himself into the hands of God for all eternity. And we find that's exactly what our Lord does with us when he reaches down and saves us. This is what is meant when it says we are saved by the faith of Christ. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What kind of faith do you have? Listen again. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we find the Word of God brings it out for our learning. This is the kind of faith that we have to receive. And this is the kind of faith that God gives us when he redeems us. And we find it says these words, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And as I've said before, we are not justified by the works of the law, but we are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. And we've described to you for just a moment or two what our Lord endured and how he wrought out that faith that is imparted to us when he died on the cross of Calvary. Now, in this closing moment, I want to ask you a question. What kind of faith do you have? Is it a superficial faith? Is it a worked-up faith? Is it an emotional faith? Or is it the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? My friend, I hope and pray it's the latter, because the others will not suffice. The greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. And my hope is that something has been said that will stir your heart and cause you to seek the Lord until you find him. All my prayer is, may the Lord spare you at this hour before it's too late. This is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye for this time.
Thank you for joining us this week for this edition of The Mercies of God. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing in your life and that you take Pastor Peter Nortier's very practical preaching to heart and put it to work in your life, in your home, in your workplace, and in your world.